A warm welcome to the Luxury Property Show, your guide to luxury living. Now, diamonds are perhaps one of the purest symbols of luxury and refinement, and their status is elevated ever higher by jewelers and designers who use these gems to realize grand artistic visions. In this episode, I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Pascal Mouawad, one of the co-guardians of the extremely prestigious diamond house Mouawad. With a history dating back to four generations, Mouawad has grown to be a leading name in the world of jewelry and watchmaking with an extensive celebrity clientele. Welcome to the show, Pascal.
Thank you, Arpan.
First of all, I would like to thank you for making time out. I believe you're only here in Dubai for a few days.
That's correct. I'm here for another 48 hours and then I'm heading out to the US.
All right. How often are you in Dubai?
I come to Dubai just about once a month. Our world headquarters are based here in DMCC. So I travel to Dubai about, I would say, every 6 weeks. I spend time with the management team, reviewing what's happening at our corporate level. And then I typically travel in the region to see high net worth clients of ours, visit our stores, and make sure that the operation is as smooth as it should be.
And you are based in LA. So how do you see the difference between the lifestyle in LA versus the lifestyle in Dubai?
So my home base is Los Angeles. Dubai and LA are quite different. The similarities are the weather, the activities. Of course, LA is a lot bigger in terms of population. It's a bigger city than Dubai. I like Dubai very much because, for one, during the winter, the weather is beautiful. There's a lot to do. It's a great city to do business in. It's vibrant, real estate is growing, and again, if you're looking to vacation in Dubai, there's so much to do, whether it's by the water, in the desert. And this weekend, for instance, I have a friend from the US that came, and we took some buggies, ATVs, we went out in the desert, came back, looked at camels. So there's so much to do in Dubai, it's just phenomenal, great city.
I mean, I guess we've already discussed Dubai quite a bit, but what made you decide to make this the global headquarters for Mouawad?
Sure, so Dubai has a lot of facilities. So we operate in the DMCC, so you are able to operate in a free trade zone.
Right.
It's easy to recruit, it's easy to run a business. The infrastructure is phenomenal, it's a great hub to get in and out. And so for us, having a very strong presence in the Gulf countries, in the Middle East, naturally Dubai was the best place to operate the business in. Again, for numerous reasons, in addition to the fact that for companies like us, and for most companies and all companies for that purpose, there's no income tax.
Right, of course. Now, recently we have seen the introduction of VAT. How has that had any impact?
We sell to high net worth individuals, 5% more or less, typically does not make a difference.
Right.
That money is not going in our pockets. It's, you know, and it's very common in most countries around the world to charge sales tax for that purpose. So I can't tell you that the VAT has slowed our sales.
All right. Now let's talk about Mouawad a bit. It is a very, very well-known, very exclusive brand that's been around for quite a while. I believe the first store was, it was opened in 1890.
That's correct. Right? So the family business dates back to 1890. My great-grandfather, Daoud, started the business.
Right.
Then my grandfather, Fayez, took it over from his father. So my great-grandfather went to the US and Mexico, became a watchmaker, came back to his home country, opened a workshop, and started the business in Lebanon. His son Fayez decided to venture out of Lebanon, and at the time he thought Saudi Arabia would be the right place to go. He went to Saudi Arabia by boat and turned out to be the only jeweler in the country at that time, and became very close to the king and queen, and from that point on our company became Jewelers to Royalty. My father, Robert, who is Fayez's son, wanted to go to medical school in Paris, went to school there for a couple of years, and his family told him to come back and work with his father. So my father left Paris, came to Saudi Arabia at a very young age, was a salesman behind the counter, and then over the course of time took over the reins of the company from his father and grew it into a multinational. So he's been instrumental in growing the business to what it is today. He's taken a lot of risks, he's bought big stones. He went to different continents. He went to America. He went to Asia, opened a factory, watch factory in Switzerland, and really did quite a bit to grow the business to what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you said that your father initially wanted to go to medical school. For you and your brothers, who are the co-guardians of the house now, was it always sort of the plan that you would be part of the family business, or were you looking at other avenues before as well?
We were all born into this family. We knew that at some point we would be the new owners, managers. We were not sure when that would happen.
Right.
My father in 2010 decided that it would be time for us to take over the business. So we did, and we did quite a bit to adapt to new market conditions. And today we're very happy to be the core guardians. We're the gatekeepers of the brand. We each have a certain role in the company. And our job is to continue the business in the next generation and to the future.
Now, of course, the company is 4 generations old, and I believe there is a 5th generation coming, taking over soon as well. During the time that you've been managing things, how would you say the company's changed? And how do you, I guess, adapt to attract a new client base in the newer generations?
Yeah, so firstly, it's correct. My 2 brothers have children, and so I'm very proud that next year, Jimmy, my nephew, who is Fred's son, will be joining the business. So will Anastasia, who is Alan's daughter. So we're currently grooming them to be the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some time, but we feel very confident they'll do a great job. And what we've done to adapt to the market conditions, the market has changed quite a bit, especially in this part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Competition has increased, and so we had to craft a new strategy for the business. We used to be a multi-brand retailer.
Right.
We decided to become monobrand and no longer represent other international watch brands and jewelry brands. That was a strategy back in the third generation. The fourth generation is a pure monobrand strategy. And also, we realized that to compete effectively, we should be catering to what we do best, and this is the extraordinary.
Right.
So our strength is really in the aspirational masterpieces, in the high jewelry, and that's precisely what we focus on today. And we are staying on path to cater to the clientele and the connoisseurs looking for the very exceptional pieces.
And speaking of very exceptional pieces, Muawad has earned several world records, I believe. You've got some highly renowned pieces, Oscar-winning actresses such as Kate Winslet, Amy Adams, even kind of the newer generation of influencers such as Kim Kardashian, to name a few, are some of your clients. How do you go about crafting the exceptional through your pieces?
Well, a few things. Yes, you've mentioned we have currently 5 Guinness World Records.
Right.
So we're very happy and proud to hold these Guinness World Records. One of them is for the incomparable diamond necklace. It has a value of $55 million.
Right.
It's a 400-carat flawless diamond that exists in the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of marketing to get our name out there. So being based in L.A., I address a lot of celebrities through my contacts. So I have personal relationships with celebrities themselves through their managers and their stylists. We also recently signed a deal with Miss Universe. And so we're proud that as of December 8th in the U.S., in Atlanta, Georgia, we'll be crowning the next Miss Universe with a $5 million crown from our company.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So we were quite active on the marketing front, and our job is to design pieces that are very unique. We are site holders of the beers. We buy large stones from tenders. We cut them into polished. Recently, we unveiled the Mawa Dragon, which is the largest vivid yellow round diamond in the world at over 50 plus carats. And so we are continuing the path of our predecessors, really building upon getting exceptional diamonds and then designing jewelry around these very unique stones is basically what we do as a company.
Now, one of the things that I guess affects every luxury market at some point, whether it's diamonds, jewelry, cars, whatever you name it, there's always this worry that the market might be stagnating or the market might go into decline, or, is there still a future for luxury goods? What do you think is the future for the diamond industry? Is this something that will continue to endure as we head off into 2020 and beyond?
I think that's a great question. today technology is disrupting every single industry.
Yes.
Including ours as well. So you hear about man-made diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, and it's a threat to our industry. I personally do not think it's a threat for the simple reason that making diamonds is today relatively easy, and with time it will be easier, and the cost of making these diamonds will drop.
Right.
So these diamonds that are not natural are going to drop in value over time, and therefore they won't be worth much at all. Diamonds take a billion years to form. They are very rare and unique, especially the exceptional ones.
Right.
And they're women's best friends. So it is a symbol of love. So when people buy diamonds, they're buying something for the loved ones for a certain occasion. So I really don't see our industry going away. If anything, these are, again, rare, precious gems that come from the earth.
Right.
And, you know, whilst prices may be soft today, you know, the economy has cycles. So I believe things will come back, get back on track. And for us, the world is the market. So if things slow down in a certain market, if the market slows down, then we're able to look at new markets, and that's currently what we're doing right now to continue to grow the business.
And what's next for Muawad in the next few years? Any new innovations that you might be looking at in terms of how your pieces are produced?
So the technology to make jewelry hasn't changed quite a bit. There are rapid prototyping machines, so we definitely use technology to make jewelry, but at the end of the day, you're creating art. We are looking at technology to run a business more effectively.
Okay.
We're looking at new markets to grow in, and the path is to, again, just grow the business, continue to acquire these exceptional diamonds, and cater to this high-end clientele and nurture to their needs.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you again for your time, Pascal. I do appreciate you giving us this interview. Before I let you go, however, there is a little quick-fire Q&A that I do with all my guests, so I hope you're up for that.
Of course.
Excellent. Your favorite restaurant in Dubai?
It would be Gaia. I was there a couple of days ago. I love Greek food. I love Mediterranean food, so I was there, and I really enjoy the fish they offer.
A favorite book?
Negotiating the Impossible. It's written by Deepak Malhotra. He was my professor at Harvard Business School. It's a book on negotiations, and he's a great professor, and a lot of good content and takeaways from that book.
All right. I think that's definitely a book that our team needs to read, so it's a good recommendation. You have so many different high net worth clients from all over the world. Is there anyone, you know, any celebrity or politician or anyone that you would really like to design a piece for?
We like to design pieces for all clients that are looking for the exceptional.
Right.
I can't tell you anyone in particular. I very much enjoy when we cater to royalty, when royalty knocks on our door and asks us to create a bespoke piece.
Right.
Of course, I cannot disclose the names.
Of course.
But yes, again, our passion is to just really create very exceptional, extraordinary pieces to those that really appreciate diamonds and colored gemstones and the artistry of jewelry making.
Following on from that, what is your favorite piece out of your collection?
I mentioned earlier the Mawa Dragon. The Mawa Dragon now has a suite that's a four-piece suite, and it's a very, very exceptional ensemble. Features the dragon, and this has a center stone. It features also another 50 carat vivid yellow diamond in the bracelet, beautiful 18 carat earring, yellow diamonds as well, and another, you know, big stone in the ring. So that suite itself we unveiled and we're very proud of. And that's currently my favorite one until we build the next one.
Now, of course, Dubai is one of your bases aside from LA. If there were any part of this city that you could live in terms of, you know, old neighborhoods, new neighborhoods that are coming up, upcoming neighborhoods, which area would it be and why?
Well, I currently live in Dubai Marina. I very much like it because I'm close to the water. I'm a Pisces. I love the water. I live in a beautiful house with a great view over the Palm. I think this area is actually developing quite a bit. As you can see, actually, right behind me, the whole marina is being developed, and it'll be the biggest marina in the Middle East.
Right.
So I definitely recommend, if you want to get the Dubai vibe, you want to get also, you know, close to water, I think this area is great. I like downtown, but downtown is just a city. whereby here you get to experience, you know, vacation life as well as business life. And at the end of the day, it's only a 20-minute drive. So I don't think, you know, you need to go very far to enjoy the restaurants at downtown or the IFC have to offer.
Oh, wow. I think you've pitched Dubai better than we do normally. That's great. Now, what is the last place that you traveled?
So I was recently in Singapore. I'm a part of a YPO. I'm a YPO member, Young Presidents Organization. And we had a one-week course at INSEAD University for family and business. So I was there for a week with my two brothers and my niece, and it was really instrumental in allowing us to understand how family businesses are run and how to continue the legacy that our predecessors started for us.
Oh, wow, fantastic. Did you also get a little kind of leisure time in there as well, or was it purely business?
Well, Singapore was purely educational, actually, executive ed, basically, that's what it was. So no time other than the fact that we have a store there as well, so we had a chance to meet my cousin Johnny, who's running the operation in Singapore, but very little time for myself. It was more the schooling aspect, and then after that, I actually got on a flight, came to Dubai.
All right, wow. The three things that you never leave home without?
Good question. I would say my Centurion American Express card, which is really important.
Of course.
My keys, otherwise I can't come back home.
Right.
And my Mawad watch. I love to wear the watch that I'm currently wearing, and I always showcase our jewelry to the outside world.
Of course, yes. That is truly, it's an exceptional piece. I wish we could show it to people instead of, you know, it's just a podcast, but it really is. It's a beautiful watch.
Thank you.
Someone that you would want to trade places with for a day?
I would think Donald Trump. I think running the White House for a day would be very fun for me and a great experience.
All right. Well, I mean, this is certainly an interesting time to make that switch, I think.
That's correct, yes.
But, all right, fantastic. Well, thank you again, Pascal. I really do appreciate this. It's really great to learn so much about Mawad and the exceptional artistry that goes into what you do. When is your next trip to Dubai?
So I'll be back right around Christmas, and I'll be in the region for a couple of weeks.
All right. Excellent. Happy travels to you, and
thank
we'll
you
see
very
you
much.
Soon. Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And that is it for another episode of the Luxury Property Show. As always, if you haven't done so already, please do hit subscribe so you can stay up to date with our latest episodes. To view the world's finest homes, visit us on luxuryproperty.com and follow us on social media. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk again next time.